CD 6.
Click, 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 click. The film spun to a standstill. There was a thunder of applause, a stamping of feet, and a barrage of empty banged grain bags. In the very front row of the Odeon, the librarian stared up at the now empty screen. It was the fourth time that afternoon he'd watched Shadow of the Desert, because there's something about a 300-pound orangutan that doesn't encourage people to order it out of the pit between houses. A drift of peanut shells and screwed-up paper bags lay around his feet. The librarian loved the clicks. They spoke to something in his soul. He'd even started writing a story which he thought would make a very good moving picture. It was about a young ape who is abandoned in the big city and grows up being able to speak the language of humans. Everyone he showed it to said it was jolly good, often even before they'd read it. But something about this click was worrying him. He'd sat through it four times and he was still worried. He eased himself out of the three seats he was occupying and knuckled his way up the aisle and into the little room where Bizam was rewinding the film. Bizam looked up as the door opened.
"Get out," he began, and then grinned desperately and said, "Hello, sir. A pretty good click, eh? We'll be showing it again any minute now, and... What the hell are you do? You can't do that."
The librarian ripped the huge roll of film off the projector and pulled it through his leathery fingers, holding it up to the light. Bizam tried to snatch it back and got a palm in his chest that sat him firmly on the floor, where great coils of film piled up on top of him. He watched in horror as the great ape grunted, grasped a piece of the film in both hands, and with two bites, edited it. Then the librarian picked him up, dusted him off, patted him on the head, thrust the great pile of unwound click into his helpless arms, and ambled swiftly out of the room with a few frames of film dangling from one paw. Bizam stared helplessly after him.
"You're banned," he shouted, when he judged the ape to be safely out of earshot. Then he looked down at the two severed ends.
Breaks in film weren't unusual. Bizam had spent many a flustered few minutes feverishly cutting and pasting, while the audience cheerfully stamped its feet and high-spiritedly threw peanuts, knives and double-headed axes at the screen. He let the coils fall around him and reached for the scissors and glue. At least, he found after holding the two ends up to the lantern, the librarian hadn't taken a very interesting bit. Odd, that. Bizam wouldn't have put it past the ape to have taken a bit where the girl was definitely showing too much chest, or one of the fight scenes. But all he'd wanted was a piece that showed the sons galloping down from their mountain fastness, in single file, on identical camels.
"Dunno what he wanted that for," he muttered, taking the lid off the glue pot. "It just shows a lot of rocks."
Victor and Gaspard stood among the sand dunes near the beach.
"That's where the driftwood hut is," said Victor, pointing. "And then if you look hard, you can see there's a sort of road pointing straight towards the hill. But there's nothing on the hill but the old trees."
Gaspard looked back at Holywood Bay.
"Funny it being circular," he said.
"I thought so," said Victor.
"I heard once where there was this city that was so wicked that the gods turned it into a puddle of molten glass," said Gaspard, apropos of nothing. "And the only person who saw it happen was turned into a pillar of salt by day and a cheese shaker by night."
"Gosh, what had the people been doing?"
"Dunno, probably not much. Doesn't take much to annoy gods."
"Me, good boy. Good boy, laddie."
The dog came streaking over the dunes, a comet of gold and orange hair. It skidded to a halt in front of Gaspard and then began to dance around excitedly, yapping.
"He's escaped and he wants me to play with him," said Gaspard despondently. "Ridiculous, ain't it? Laddie, drop dead."
Laddie rolled over obediently, all four legs in the air.
"See, he understands every word I say," muttered Gaspard.
"He likes you," said Victor.
"Huh," sniffed Gaspard. "How are dogs ever going to amount to anything if they bounce around worshipping people just because they've been given a meal? What's he want me to do with this?"
Laddie had dropped a stick in front of Gaspard and was looking at him expectantly.
"He wants you to throw it," said Victor.
"What for?"
"So he can bring it back."
"What I don't understand," said Gaspard as Victor picked up the stick and hurled it away,
Laddie racing along underneath it,
"is how come we've descended from wolves. I mean, your average wolf, he's a bright bugger, know what I mean? Chock full of cunning and like that. We're talking grey paws racing over the trackless tundra is what I'm getting at.